I'm just like the other kids. I'm just like them.
Linda Bannon and her son Timmy suffer from a rare condition that left them born without arms.
Shirt out or in?
Out.
But despite their circumstances, the mother and son from Illinois refuse to let their disability stop them from living life to the full. Affecting only 1 in 100,000 people, Linda suffers from Holt-Oram syndrome, which also causes heart problems. But that didn't stop 35-year-old Linda living a normal life growing up.
Being born without arms probably, from my perspective, hasn't really affected my life that much, because it never really occurred to me growing up that I was that much different than anybody else.
In 2003, Linda met future husband Richard, and when she fell pregnant, doctors made the couple aware that any child could be born with Linda's condition.
Going through all the checkups that parents go through when they're expecting a baby, we were given the option to terminate the pregnancy, but it was never even a consideration of ours. We want a family. We want to have a baby.
Timmy suffered with severe heart problems when he was born. At just 8 days old, he was rushed into surgery and spent the first 2 months of his life in intensive care. But despite his difficult start in life, like his mother, Timmy would not allow his disability to get in the way.
Yeah, that was amazing!
The pair refuse to wear prosthetic limbs and insist their conditions have never held them back, whether it's cooking, getting dressed, or playing video games.
Oh, I love this one.
While Linda does everything she can to maintain her independence, Richard is always ready to help out.
I do have to help in the bathroom. Other than that, the other stuff that I help with, she can do herself. But being that I feel like I'm supposed to be helping her, I do them for her, even though I don't necessarily need to.
Okay. Let's move
out.
At school, Timmy is treated like any other student.
I'm just like the other kids. I'm just like them. And I'll be just like them every time of my life.
Timmy's personality is such that he gets along with all of his classmates. They accept him for who he is. They play along with each other. I think the kids don't even recognize that Timmy has some special needs.
And when school's over, Timmy and Linda are often found at the local pool.
I keep afloat by, like, using my butt a little bit, and I go under, like, on my back or on my front.
Along with managing Timmy's busy sports schedule and working as a kindergarten teacher, Linda is also hoping to help other people with the same condition.
I've been starting up taking business classes in business management with the hope of starting a nonprofit organization to help families of children that are like myself and my son.
Linda knows that Timmy will face a difficult future, but is hopeful he will learn to live with his condition and have a happy life just like her.
My biggest concern for him is just what will happen if he does not find that companionship, because with my husband, I have that person that when my parents have gone from this earth, I have a person that will look after me and help me and do things for me that my parents used to do. We really hope that he'll find someone. We'll just have to wait and see.
Pegged it! Oh, no! Kicked it too.
Can the foot say, because I am not a hand, I am therefore not part of the body? Have you heard these words before? The Bible says no. I hope you saw in the children's story and in the little brief clip that you saw here what a difference things make and what they can make. Oh, here we go. Okay, you ready for this? Yeah, I am.
What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper. Go on out and sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote portraits. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the reel. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And
amen. How many times do we limit ourselves and our place by saying, I'm just this, or I'm just that, or if I was given this blessing, if I was given this opportunity, then I would matter? The message I hope you come away with today is that you matter right now, here today, as you are. We are looking at this message, a body to live for. We've been looking for the last few weeks at this message, a body to look for. A message from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he's talking to a troubled body, where he's talking to a group that he has diagnosed with divisions. He's diagnosed it with class distinctions. He's diagnosed it with problems. But the answer he prescribes is to recognize themselves, and to us today, to recognize ourselves as the body of Christ, and each one of us a part of that body. Today, we are looking at this idea, a body to live for, everyone alike. But to that, we have to add a postscript, not. All you have to do is look around the room and see that you are not like everyone else here. All you have to do is think through the last week, your own experiences, the things you've observed in others, and know that you are not like everyone else here. And everyone else here is not like you, though we are in so many ways. Last Sabbath, we focused on the scripture, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being member are one body, so also is Christ. We talked about the fact that anyone who truly has Jesus as the head of their life, anyone who truly has Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their lives, is in Christ. And that all of us who are in Christ are one body. There is not more than one body of Christ. Not more than one. You can't distinguish someone and say, well, they're in that body of Christ. Or I'm in this body of Christ. I can't be in the same thing as you, or you, or you. No, there is one body of Christ. And if you are in Christ, you are in that body of which He is the head. One body. This week, we're going to follow Paul as he transitions in verse 14. And says, but that one body consists of many parts, or members, as he uses the terminology. One body, many parts, all with the background of that prayer, of that desire of Jesus, that they may all be one. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking you to speak to us through your word. Asking to fully embrace you as Lord and to take the place that you have made for us in your body and do it to the hilt. No matter what it is, to do it like Michelangelo, to do it like Handel or Beethoven, to do it to the hilt by your grace and by your power, because it is your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn, I also have it on the screen, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can look and glance around the context, but we are going to be starting in verse 14. And here is what the Apostle Paul says to this interesting Corinthian church. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? He's asking a question. Do you have the answer? If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? Thank you. Thank you very much. So just think about that, though. And by the way, you might be sitting here as we go through these lists of body parts that Paul lays before us and say, "Oh, maybe that's what I am. Maybe I'm a foot. Maybe I'm a hand. Maybe I'm an eye. Maybe I'm an ear. Maybe I'm a nose." Don't do that. Paul isn't labeling who's the foot, who's the hand, and all of these kinds of things. He's labeling that there's different things. But you can imagine, if your foot could think, and if your foot could talk, if your foot had some way of observing the hands, how actually worthy of jealousy the hands are, right? I mean, you make stuff with the hands, you wave, you communicate with the hands, you do so many things. What are the feet? You ever seen people, besides the people perhaps that we saw on the screen today, who talk with their feet, emphasize, make their, well, we do that, right? That's one exception, yeah. Make your point. No, the feet just kind of stay on the ground. If you're sitting, they even kind of stay on the ground. Or maybe if you cross your legs, one of them gets the privilege to levitate a little bit. But basically, they stay on the ground while the hands get to do everything. Absurd, unfair, unjust even. But oh, the places the hands couldn't go if there were no feet, right? The places the hands couldn't go if there were no feet. And if the feet resigned, what a tragedy that would be. There are people, just like people who get along without hands and amaze us, there are people who get along without feet and amaze us, right? But there's nothing that works like the whole thing together. Every part in its place. And thank God, those people who have been getting along and amazing us without this part or the other part, trusting in Jesus, will get to have all the parts working better than the best athletes in this room, put together by the Master Creator to be just what He intended them to be. We go on. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? Thank you very much. You're learning. It is part of the body still. And of course, you can imagine the perspective of the ear. Have some sympathy for your ears. They just sit there on the sides of your head. The eyes take in all this information. The eyes see all the beauty. Of course, if we should happen to turn on some good music or something, the ears are in a good position. But we still keep using our eyes to watch the musicians if we're at a concert and these kinds of things. Surely there's a role for that kind of jealousy. But again, Paul says, if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And you know the answer. The answer is no. What is this that we are observing in the body? This, could we call it jealousy? Or could we call it an inferiority complex? It feels different ways to different people at different times, doesn't it? Sometimes, when we look at somebody else and the tasks, the positions, the calling they fulfill in the body, we say to ourselves, "Oh, I could do that. How come I don't have that position? How come nobody recognizes how special I am and puts me in that place?" Whether it's the leaders of the church or whether it's God Himself, how come I've been dealt with so unfairly? If I can't have my rightful place in the body, I might as well go somewhere else. I might as well be out of here. And of course, there's the other side, the other way of experience this thing that Paul is talking about. Not where you're jealous. Not where you're thinking, that should be me. And why isn't it? And if it's not, I'm out of here where I'll be appreciated somewhere. It can also manifest as, man, I've got nothing. So-and-so, they can do this, they can do that, they can do this, they can do that. Me, I don't have those kinds of talents. I don't have those kind of gifts. I don't matter. No one would care if I was gone, so I might as well be gone. By the way, body of Christ, we're going to get to this probably next week as we look at what the scriptures say and continue to say about the body of Christ. But we need to be noticing every part, every fellow member of the body of Christ. We need to be noticing when someone's gone. I've listened to stories. Listened to a man not long ago who said that he was active in a church and then he stopped going and no one missed him, as far as he could tell. No one noticed that he was gone. And he hasn't been an active member since, although he's thinking about maybe getting back into it. Can you imagine? Maybe you can. Maybe you've missed a few Sabbaths and none of us called. And you wondered if you mattered. I want you to know you matter. And fellow members of the body of Christ, let us realize how much each other matters, okay? Let us notice. Let's not be afraid to pick up the phone and let's not be police men and women on each other and saying, where were you last Sabbath? I noticed you were gone. Was there something more important than church? No. A heart of love saying it wasn't the same without you. We missed you. We love having you there. And when you're not there, we're less because you're not there. Paul gets funny from here. He draws a verbal cartoon. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And I wanted a picture of an eyeball, you know, with arms and legs, because that would be funny, but then I thought about it. No, the whole point is, not even a cartoon pair of arms, not even a cartoon pair of legs that just looks disproportionate and funny, just an eyeball sitting on the ground. This is the picture Paul has in his mind, an eyeball sitting on the ground, can't get anywhere unless someone kicks it. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? And then he gives the key factor that we all need to realize about our place in the body of Christ. And here it is. But now, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? The fact of the matter is, Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, together and individually, he's saying, God needs you as you are. He doesn't need you as something greater, something more, something less, something different. He needs you as you are. He needs you as he created you. Now, by the way, does that mean that, like in medieval society, if you were born a serf, you stayed a serf, right? All your life. If you were born a serf that worked in metal, then you and your children and your children's children would continue to work in metal all your lives, using up every scrap of energy until you died. That was all you could look forward to. If you were a stable boy, That was what you did. If you were a seamstress, that was what you did, and that's what you would always do. No, praise God. Have you observed? Have you lived? Have you seen in the body of Christ? What you are doing now in the body of Christ, what you are gifted to do now in the body of Christ, may or may not be what you're doing until Jesus comes. You leave that up to Him, okay? You might continue doing what you do, whatever your office in the church, or if you have no office, if your thing is making nice little gifts and giving them to people on the sly and nobody else knows what you're doing, but it's bringing love and connection in the body of Christ, if that's your role until Jesus comes, keep it up. It's what He gave you. It's the gift you have. It's your irreplaceable role. Maybe sometime down the line you'll be doing that, and maybe all of a sudden, for some reason, He'll pull a lateral on you and move you into a Sabbath school department, and you're teaching little kids how to make crafts or something like that. Go with Him. He knows what He's doing. It's said in so many ways throughout the Scriptures. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is the designer. He is the creator. He knows what He's doing. And He will continue with you, working with you, helping you to be who He created you for. Who He created you to be. Doing what He has created and gifted you to do. If you think it's some highfalutin thing, so be it. Get over it. If you think it's some low thing that's humble and you wonder if you're going to get the respect you deserve, it's His plan. And like that quote that we listened to, do it like Mozart. Do it like Handel. If it's sweeping, sweep like you're sweeping a masterpiece. Because this is what God has given you to do. And body of Christ, when you see someone sweeping, when you see someone teaching, when you see someone heading a committee, or when you see someone handing out the duplicated paper so that everyone has the information they need, be alert to give affirmation. Be alert to give appreciation, not condescending, not patronizing, genuine appreciation for everyone who does what God has called them to do at any given moment, at any time in the body of Christ. If you see someone finding someone that nobody's talking to and engaging them in conversation, you take the chance to say, I saw Jesus working through you, brother. I saw Jesus touching someone through you, sister. Let them know that not only is God smiling on them, whether they can hear His words or feel His warmth or not, but the body of Christ is prospering and glad and appreciative of every single person who's doing what God has called them to do. All one body, every single part, His intended creation to help the body function and do all that He planned and dreamed for the body to do. And that's the message. Do you want me to keep you longer? I could think of stuff to say if you want me to keep you longer. But that's the message. None of us are replaceable. You are irreplaceable. For God so loved the world, say it with me if you want, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've talked about this before. God is patient, it says in 1 Peter, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. I believe in my heart of hearts that anyone who doesn't trust in Jesus and accept the free gift that he gives, and trust themselves into his hand, and enter his kingdom when he comes, will leave a hole in the heart of God forever. I believe that if you're not there, God will miss you forever. I don't have a scripture that says exactly that, but when it says he wants all to come to repentance, he doesn't want any to perish. When he says, Jesus says, I'm coming again so that where I am, there you can be also. It tells me he's going to miss you forever if you're not there. And the least we can do as the body of Christ is miss each other if we happen to not see each other, isn't it? To realize how precious each one is, how valuable. The tiniest, what was that? Was that a fuse that was missing in that car? Just a screw? Kept the whole thing from going? The tiniest screw. We are not the same without you. So don't you check out on us. Don't you go saying, I don't matter here. Maybe we haven't given you enough reason to know that you matter here, but you do. So two things, body of Christ. You matter. Stick with us. And the other one is, they matter. Put your arms around each other and make sure everyone knows it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for investing far beyond we could ever imagine or think by giving Jesus so that each one of us could be here, a part of your body. Connected with each other, performing what you have gifted us to do, doing our part in this body with so many parts, with so many different roles, so many different places. Please, Father, if the connections between you and as the head and any of us have gotten clogged or rusty so that we're having a hard time doing what you've called us to do, please open the channels right now. Please let the picture of Jesus dying on the cross for us, the picture of him ever living to intercede for us, his body, open up those channels so that anyone who isn't sure they're accepted with you, anyone who isn't sure that there truly is a place in your family for them, can know right now that in giving Jesus, you have established beyond a shadow of any doubt that there is a place for everyone in your family, and that you and you and you and you belong as much as anybody else, which is more than any of us can imagine. Father, I pray if anyone thinks they have a load of guilt that's too big, that they can know that the blood of Jesus is able to wash away all sin and make them clean right now. If anyone believes that because of this disability or that problem or that weakness that they could never be part of your family and have something that you want them to do, that right now that they could recognize in you the invitation that says, yes, I mean you, and I know what I'm talking about. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. And thank you for this family. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to invite you, if you want a little bit of help of knowing that you are accepted as a child of God and that any problem, anything in your life, he is able to bring you victory and help you, I ask an elder to be down here in each corner of the front here after the service. You can come down. They'll talk with you. They'll pray with you and help you make sure that you know that you are his, irreplaceable in his family.